Hey, good morning. I think the reason you asked me to come say this Chaburah was because of my involvement in Hilchas Gittin. So I'm going to resist the temptation to talk about Hilchas Prisbol, which are in these blot also, which is coming up some of Prisbol season. But we may have opportunity to do that in some other venue, either maybe one of the Thursday night shiur, or maybe a Shabbos afternoon shiur. So Od Chazon, Lamoed. The Mishnah tells us in the beginning of the fourth parak, Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, that originally it was possible for a baal to be mevatel a get shelo b'fnei ha-shaliach, and then the shaliach would go and deliver the get, and there would be tragic consequences because the shaliach would not know that the get had already been nullified. Then came along Rav Gamliel Zaken, and he was mesaken not to do so b'fnei tikkun ha'olam. So the Gemara says on Lamed Beis Amud Beis, towards the bottom of the Amud, at the two dots, b'fnei kama hu mevalu, in this original version where you could be mevatel aget shelo b'fnei ha-shaliach, who did you need to be mevatel in front of? That's a machlokas amarayim. Is it sufficient to be mevatel in front of two people? That's Rav Nachman's shita. And Rav Sheshi says b'fnei gimel. So Rav Sheshi, we understand, it says bezdin. So bezdin means gimel. What about Rav Nachman? Rav Nachman tells us that sometimes even two people could constitute a bezdin. If you look at the Piskei Tshuva in the Seder Haget, in Evan Ezer, after Simon Kuf Nun Dalet, at the end of Hilchas Gittin, there's a Seder Haget that tells you how to conduct the get. And the Piskei Tshuva there in Sif Katan Ches, in the Seder Haget, notes that if you look in the Gemara never indicates that you need a bezin for a normal get process. Here the Gemara is talking about a bezin for Bittul HaShaliach, but you never find that you need a bezin for a get. He points out that that's the mashmas of the Gemara in Bava Basra Kuf Ayin Dalet. The Gemara there has a rhetorical question: Azu called the Megarish of Beidino Kamegarish? That is that true? That anyone who gives a get is doing in front of Bezdin? Never found such a thing. So he points out that you don't really need a Bezdin for a Mesiras Haget, as far as you get the impression from the various Gemaras. It happens to be Rabbi Gedalia Feldy, Zerchon Levracha, in the Sefer Nachlas Svi and Nachlas Gittin, points out that if you look in the Rabbeinu Gershom there in the Gemara in Bava Basra, the Rabbeinu Gershom has a slightly different gear. So instead of Atu called the Megarish Bebeidina Kamegarish, he has Atu called the Megarish Bebeidina Rabba Kamegarish. Does everyone have to go to the Bezdin Agadol? No, you don't have to go to the Bezdin Agadol. Implication is maybe you have to go to your local Bezdin. You do find one instance in which you do need a Bezdin Ikara Din, or at least Lahalacha, for Seder Aget. And that is, the Ramah tells us in Simon Kuf Membeis, when it comes to a get ayideh shaliach, if I appoint a shaliach to deliver a get, so the shaliach has to come and say, b'fani nechta, b'fani nechta, and then he delivers the get. So there, the Mechaber says, it's sufficient to have the shaliach and to aid the mesira, and that's all you need. And to the extent that you need a bezdin, so the statement of b'fani nechta, b'fani nechta is said in front of the to aid the mesira, and that's all you need. The Ramah says, the Ramah is a Chumrah, that you should have the Ramah is a Chumrah al Gabi Chumrah. So level one of the Chumrah is that you should have four people pressing. You'd have the Shaliach, and then you have the two Eidim Mesira plus a fourth person, and the two Eidim Mesira and the fourth person together constitute a Bezdin as well. And then the double level of Chumrah is that the best thing to do would be to have six people total. You have the two Eidim Mesira and the Shaliach, and then you have three people constituting a Bezdin. So when you deliver a Gedi, the Shaliach, so then there's an Indian of having a Bezdin, perhaps at least L'chum. However, the Piskei Tshuva then quotes the Tshuva's Noda Bihuda. Noda Bihuda is in Tinyana Kuf Yudalid. The Noda Bihuda is of the opinion that you do need a Bezdin for a regular Seder Haget. He has such a Chumra. What's the source? The source is that Orzeruah. Orzeruah writes that it's inappropriate to be Mesader Haget at night, because a get has the status of tchilas din. So ain't done in Belayli, not allowed to be din Torah at night. A get is the status of tchilas din because a get's relevant for gvias aksuba. Once you issue a get, so then you're going to have to deal with the mamonis involved in the gvias aksuba. So that's considered tchilas din, the beginning of a din process. And you can't have a tchilas din ba laila. And he has another ride to this in the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Beis. The mission there, the beginning of the Masech, that tells you all the things they needed a bezdin for. Sometimes you need a bezdin of three, sometimes you need a bezdin of 23, sometimes you need a bezdin of gadol. So there, one of the things you need a bezdin for three is miyunin, right? If a katana is married off, so she doesn't require a get. It's sufficient to do miyun, and that miyun has to, if she's married off by her father dies, she's married off by her brothers and mother, so it's sufficient to do Miyan. So that requires a Bezdin of Gimel. Rashi, their comments, why do you need a Bezdin of Gimel? Called the Tikkun the Raisa Kain, called the Tikkun Rabbana Kain the Raisa Tikkun, that it's modeled after probably sounds like a get. So modeled after get, and you need a bezin of 3. So it sounds like if the model of the mian is requires a bezin of 3, so the get itself should require a bezin of 3 as well. So that's why they know the behuda things that lahalacha you require a bezin for a regular get process. So the Piskei Teshuva thinks that lichatchila it's better to be machmir for the no to be hudo, even though mikra din we assume otherwise. In Eretz Yisrael, there typically are machmir and have a bezdin present for every seder aget. You have your sofer, you have your edim, and then you have 3 people with a bezdin in addition. It's easy to do that in Eretz Yisrael because all the dayanim there are salaried officials and they're in the office anyway. That's what they get paid for. In Chutzaris, we tend not to be as machmir on this. In a different context, Rav Henkin is quoted as saying that in America, everything's a shas atkak. So especially when it comes to in a gittin context, so sometimes you have to rely on you can't fulfill every chumrah, because if you're going to worry about fulfilling every chumrah, then you're going to lose the opportunity to do a get when necessary sometimes. So we're not machmir. Generally speaking, we're not necessarily machmir to have a bezin present for every seder get, and we're also not machmir. Again, these are related to the question of get balayla. So we lechachila do gittin bayom. So if all things are equal, we want to do a get balayla. But if it's necessary, if the only time to do a get at night is to do it at night, then we'll do it at night. There's a famous story of the Marasham. The Marasham is a rav of Brzezhan. And before he was a rav there, I think it was a rav in Bialystok. So the story goes that when he was a rav in Bialystok, there were two episodes that the Baal Batim were upset about. One episode was that he once, like the famous Tshuvas HaRamah, where in Europe they have chasanas Friday afternoon, so they save money on the Suda Shevar Brachos, they have the Suda Shevar Brachos and the Friday night Suda all combined. So there was, just like the famous story in the Tshuvas HaRamah, there was a chasana that was scheduled for Shabbos, and there was a sichsuch between the sides, and it was dragging out, it was coming late. And finally, there's already Shkia, and the Ramah paskin that you could be Messiah Kedushin during Ben HaShmashos, because otherwise it would have been Hesem Ruba. So Marashanim had a similar situation where he was Messiah Kedushin Ben HaShmashos Friday night, because otherwise it would have been Hesem Ruba, and it would have been horrible. And the Baal Batim said, how could you be Messiah Kedushin after Shkia on Friday night? And then another, a week later, a week before, the other story was that there was a get that the Marasham is Mesader Balayla. So the Baal HaBatim were upset, how could you be Mesader get Balayla? So the Marasham said, you just were commenting on 2 Divrei Tmiya, and now you're going to see a 3rd Dvar Tema. So then a week later, the Marasham wasn't expecting it, but he got a Ksav Rabbanus from Brzezhan, and he took that as a Simen Min HaShemayim, that the Baal HaBatim were already upset about him here, so we should go on to the next town, and he accepted the Ksav Rabbanus to go to Brzezhan. Okay. That it was all because of a get balayla. Rav Avadia writes in one of his tshuvas that his practice was, starting from when he was a rav in Egypt, that it sounds like even though in principle you don't make a redin, require your bezdin for a seder get, he, as a matter of policy, always assured that when it came for the time for the chakira shemas, and they have to figure out how you write the names of the parties in the get, so he made sure to have 2 other dayanim with him, because it's a complicated parsha to figure out shemas all the time, and he wanted to have the protection of having 2 other dayanim with him. It wouldn't all be on his authority. Okay. So Gemara here on Daf Lamed Gimel tells us what happens post Akanas from Gamliel if you actually wore Mevatil the get Shelo B'fnei HaShliach. So that's the Machlokes Tanoim. Tana Rabbana Bitla Mevutil Divrei Rabbi Rishon Gamliel Amar Eina Yachal Lelevatlo V'lo Lehosef El Tano. That according to Rabbi, even though you shouldn't have done it, and even though there's a takana to avoid it, if lemaisa you're mevatel leget shelo b'fnei hashliach, that bittel is effective. And Rishon Gamliel says no, that you have no authority to be mevatel leget post takana from Gamliel, the bittel is ineffective. Because imkay makach bezin yafa, if a person can go and violate the takana anyway, so what have you gained by doing the takana? What authority do you have? Nina Torah. The get is batel. So now you're going to say that midr abana, and we treat the get as not being batel, and this woman who otherwise min haTorah is an eshes ish, you're going to let her get remarried. So Gemara says, "Call the mekadesh adai to the rabban mekadesh, v'afkin rabban lekedushim minei." So Tosfos is bothered. Dibre maskel v'afkin inu hikshar Rabbeinu Shmuel in kein yachafa basachoso. So if you have this mechanism of v'afkin inu, so then you can invoke that in other situations. So you're going to have a situation where there is nus, you have a violated issue, and then you'll save her by executing a get where you're going to be mevatel the shalom b'fnei shliach, you're giving mafgila kedushin lafreya, and then it comes out that no one violated any yisurim. Menim se shi pnuya. So omri delo kasha dein lachush ella kishem mechafa la shelo kedin aval hacha kedin mechafa. So yep, in a chanami. So if the mechanism works, the mechanism works, and you may have situations where you wouldn't necessarily want the mechanism to work, but once it's there, it's there. And then tosa later quotes Rabbein Tam that not necessarily. Maybe we only invoke this notion of afkinu where it's done with proper authority, where that's the interest of Chazal. But if it's not in the interest of Chazal, then we won't invoke afkinu. So in one of the Thursday night shiurim, I reference the famous tshuva of the Marasham, which you didn't have time then to elaborate on, but it emerges from this tosos. Shuvas Marasham, since we just told the story about him, is in Chelek Aleph. Chelek Aleph Simon Tes. So Marasham is dealing with the following situation. There was a woman who was married, and then she received word that her husband was killed from some government official. And on the basis of that evidence that the government provided, it was actually a situation of chalitza, so she had chalitza performed, and then she remarried. And then sometime later, after she was remarried with children, it turned out that the husband, Bahar Baraglav, the husband really was alive. And what had happened was he had lent his passport to someone else, and the person to whom he lent the passport was killed. And when the government saw this person murdered with the first guy's passport, they declared that the first guy was dead. So the moral of the story is never lend out your passport. But the unfortunate situation over here was that this woman was now in the situation of Teitzei Mizeh Mizeh, and the children at first glance were Mamzerim. So the Marasham says, subsequent to before the Shaila got to the Marasham, since the din is Teitzei Mizeh Mizeh, they had the first husband issue a get, and then they were wondering, is there any way to save the status of the children from the second husband? So Marasham writes that l'halacha v'lo l'maisa, had you asked me the Shaila earlier, I may have said the following, which I'm not saying l'halacha, but maybe you could have entertained the following argument. That based on this Tosfos, maybe the way to save the children would have been to have the husband authorize the get to be delivered ayde shliach, and then to be mevatel the get shalom b'fnei shliach, so you can invoke afkeinu, so they never would have been married to begin with, and then the children of the second husband would not be mamzerim. So Marasham says, maybe had you asked me the shaila earlier, before you executed a get from the first husband, maybe you would have said this, la'alacha v'lo l'maisa. So that's a fascinating suggestion. There's a lengthy shuva that Rishon Zalman Orbach has in Minchas Shlomo Chelek Aleph Simen Ayin Vav, in which he goes through many reasons that the Marasham himself is very tentative of this and about this and didn't suggest the l'maisa, but there are many reasons that it wouldn't necessarily work. For example, he points out that it's not clear in Rishonim whether, even if you accept the notion that afkinu could work here, does that mean that it's nothing? That the first marriage was nothing, and then the children from the second marriage are not mamzerim? Maybe they'd still be mamzerim midirabanan. Maybe we accept the day in Tosfos that you can't just invoke afkinu unless it's baratz, where it's not baratz and chachamim. So in this situation, where you mevatel l'get shalom b'fnei ha'shliach, so then they had no rishus to do that. But if the rabbis are telling you to do it, the Bezin tells you, go be mevatel l'get shalom b'fnei ha'shliach, so you're going to invoke afkinu there, it's called the mekadesh yadayt rabbanu mekadesh, because the yadayt rabbanu is telling you to dafka be mevatel l'get shalom b'fnei ha'shliach. And then he says, it's also unclear who are you mevatel in front of, because according to many Rishonim, if you're mevatel in front of one person, that bittel may be good, may only be good midirabanan. If you're mevatel in front of two people, zeshel b'fnei zeh, it also may be good only dirabanan. Sorry, may be good minotara, so you wouldn't invoke afkinu. So anyway, you slice it. There are various complicating factors that it would be very difficult to create a situation where this kind of a solution would really work. Okay. The Mishnah tells us on Lamed Dalah and Nebeis, Barishona Yemishana Shmo Vishma Shem Irim Shem Ira. So originally people would be Mishana, the name of the get. So Rashi says here, it doesn't mean that the Mishana, the name, doesn't mean that the guy's name was Sam or they write Harry. It means that he had two names, one place in the Makom HaKsiva, one place in the Makom HaNesina, and they would only write the Shem, the Makom HaKsiva, the Makom HaNesina, not the Makom HaKsiva. Tosafot points that out in Daf Pei as well. So it means that a person would have multiple names, so they'd only write one of the names. And then Megamliel's mitakin sheyekosev ish ploni v'choshim sheyeshlo ish aplonis v'choshim sheyeshlo v'mnei tikanol. So he came along with mitakin, then he should write all the names. So machlokus yishon, if you look in Tosas here, doesn't mean you write all the names. You write ploni kol ploni kol ploni, or doesn't mean that you write literally the lashon ha mishnah of ploni quote v'choshim sheyeshlo and all the names that he has. So that's the machlokus of the Bali Tosas. That's the machlokus. It's actually machlokas within the day in the Bali Tosas that you write all in it, v'chol shum. So it's machlokas b'chaber amah, and lemaisa, the Sephardi practice is you write all the names and you write v'chol shum v'chanicha disay, quote, and all the other names that a person has. And the Ashkenazi practice is to not write the words v'chol shum, but to write the actual names, so and so, ploni, demiskri ploni, or mechuna ploni, then ploni, demiskri ploni. Okay. What happens if you don't write the names at all? So that's definitely possible. Is that absul deraisa? Is that absul derabbanan? So let's say you just write the nusach haget is b'lashon habal. So you have the baal's name. So let's say you don't write the baal's name at all. You just say I divorce you. So that's a machlokas rishonim. Is that absul min haTorah? Absul midrabbanan. If you look in the Mordechai in the beginning of the second parak in the staff days and staff of Mordechai. So the very first line there, Simin, Shin, and Dalid. Mordechai writes, Kasa Rabbeinu Yoel HaLevi, Ilav de Mistafina Mechavrai. So the Raviyah writes that if not for the fact that I'm scared of my Chaverim, Havamina Filulo Hisker, Shema Ishvi Isha Beget, Kasha Rakshay Kasakil Kasa. As long as the get is a valid get, if everything else is written Kalacha, the fact that you leave out the names doesn't passel. Because after all, we pass them that Eidim Misira Karsi, and as long as you have the Eidim Misira, so the Eidim Misira able to testify that the get was given between the appropriate parties, so the lack of names in the get doesn't pass it, as long as it's written lehalacha. Lech Anisha thinks maybe that's the Shita Rambam as well. The Rambam in the beginning of Hilchas Gittin lists the 10 things that are ma'akev beget in the Torah, and one of them is not the Shema Ish v'Shema Isha. Although the Or Sameach points out that he also doesn't list that in the things that are Machmir Derabanan, so maybe he's just not listed. Okay. Then if you look in the Hagos Ashri, the Rush, in the second parak here also, Simon Yud Zayin. So Hagos Ashri there quotes from an Or Zeruah. It's page 192 in the standard pagination here. So he quotes in the bottom of the first paragraph there on the top of the first column, the kol get isha shilahuskar bo shmo v'shma pasul v'abana mamzerim. So any get that's missing the names of the parties is pasul v'habanim mamzerim. Why is that? So the Ramban writes there in the Sugan Daf Kaf in the second parak that a get has to be a sefer krisos. Sefer krisos means sefer dvarim. It has to tell the story. It has to explain what's going on. And you can't have a proper sefer krisos, you can't be telling the story of so-and-so is divorcing so-and-so unless you write their names. Okay, so lehalacha, and we'll see whether it's psul deraisa or psul derabanan, may affect situations in makom igun of b'di'eved. If your mitzvah father is snifim, if it's only a psul derabanan, so there might be more to rely on. What happens if you leave out the name of the fathers, and again you write ploni ben ploni? So let's say you just wrote ploni, you just wrote the husband's name, you didn't write the father's name. So in the sefer get pasht, the get pasht is written, it's on Shulchan Aruch, it only goes through Simon Kuf Kaftes, only the first half of Hilchos Gittin. It's written by the author of the Kapas Tamarim, or the trilogy of Yom Teruah and Tosefes Yom Kippurim Kapas Tamarim. So it's quoted in the Piskei Shuvah in the beginning of Hilchos Gittin, just about every Piskei Shuvah quotes the get pasht. So the get pasht points out in Simon Kuf Kaftes that if you look through all the Gemaras, there's no indication, no rayas from the Gemara one way or another, whether if you leave out the name of the father, that passels. In Shulchan Aruch, we paskin that it doesn't passel. The Shulchan Aruch, Sivan Kuf Kaf Tes Siv Tes, based on the Shuvah Sarash and the Shuvah Sarashba, that if you leave out, it's Lichachili, you're supposed to mention the names of the father, but if you leave it out, it doesn't passel Bidi Evet. And Lameisa, we pass in Shulchan Aruch, it says that if you have a shtuki, you have someone you don't know the identity of the father, or a Sufi, you gather the kid from the shuk, we don't know who the parents are, or if you have a ger, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that we don't write the shame ha'av at all. Dagal Mervava writes that if you have, let's say, so our practice for a ger is we write Ben Avram Avinu or Hager. When it comes to a Ben Akum, the Bas Yisrael, the father's not Jewish and the mother's Jewish, so the Dagal Mervava says, then you write the mother's name in a get, just like Mari Bar Rachel. So if the father's not Jewish, or the father is not, we don't know who the father is, so sometimes we don't know the father is, he may be Jewish, he may not be Jewish. So that's the shtuki. So then we don't write anything. If we know the father's, under certain circumstances, we may write the mother's name. And definitely if you know who the father is and he's a guy, so we would write the mother's name. So the omission of the name of a parent in a get doesn't possible, and sometimes we may even do that lechachila. What happens if you make a mistake in the name of the parent? So if you leave it out entirely, it's kosher. What happens if you write the wrong name? So the name is Yaakov ben Yitzchak, and you write Yaakov ben Avram. So what's the status of that get? So Tosfos tells us in Daf Pei, the Gemara there has, the Mishnah has, that if you make a mistake in the Shem Ha'ir, Shem Ira v'Shem Ira, so Teitzei Mizem Mizem. So Tosfos points out, that's only if you make a mistake in the city where we are right now. But the practice, the Rishonim reference, we don't do this, but some of the Rishonim hold that you're supposed to write not only the name of the city where they live, or the city where the get's taking place, but the city of birth. So so-and-so who was born in New York. So that, the Tosafot points out over there, that if you would have left out the name of the city where you live, where you're born entirely, the get would be kosher. So if you make a mistake, it doesn't possible. So anytime you make a mistake in something which isn't necessary in the get to begin with, that's going to be kasher b'di'evet. So at first glance, he would have said that the same thing should be true if I make a mistake in the name of the father. If you didn't write the name of the father at all, it would be kasher b'di'evet. So if I make a mistake in the name of the father, that should definitely be kasher, just like the mistake in the city of birth. But and that is the position of the Baal Ha'iter. However, and Shulchan Aruch we paskin otherwise. In Simin Kuf Kavtes If Yud we paskin Yosef ben Shimon Shishina because of Yosef ben Shmuel. The guy's name is Yosef ben Shimon. You write Yosef ben Shmuel, so you write the wrong father's name. That's pasul. V'yesh misha omer shem nisei lo teitzei. So there is an opinion that if you really got remarried on the basis of that get, you wouldn't say teitzei. But that's questionable, and it's definitely pasul. So Beis Shmuel there explains, based on a Shuvah Sarash, that the reason that there's a difference between if you make a mistake in the city of birth and you make a mistake in the name of the father is that if you make a mistake in the name of the father, you're going to think we're talking about someone else. That everyone knows that this is Yosef ben Shimon, and if you write Yosef ben Shmuel, they're going to think we're talking about someone else. It's the wrong husband. That could possibly even be the Evet. So Lahalacha, even though there is this minority opinion in the Baal Ha'iter and a minority opinion in Achronim, that for example, the Piskei Shuvah, there quotes Shuvah Savodas HaGirshuni, who was makel in such a case for Malkam Igun, where they wrote the get with the wrong father's name to be Machshir for Malkam Igun, where it's impossible to get another get. But most of the Achronim that the Piskei Shuvah quotes are of the opinion that we follow the Tzach and Shulchan Aruch and it's possible even Bidi Aved across the board. And that is generally the accepted Tzach. There's a tshuva written by the Aruch HaShulchan that's printed in the Hadama of the Sefer Evan Meir. Sefer Evan Meir is a Sefer written in Hilchas Gittin by Rav Aaron Gordon. Rav Aaron Gordon was a Rav on the Lower East Side at the turn of the century, the last century. He is the great-great-grandfather of Rabbi Yaakov Rablaski. So Rav Aaron Gordon was Mesader Gittin in New York, a Chashiva Rav who corresponded with Rabbanim in Europe. He has a number of Sfarim and Hilchas Gittin and Chalitza and other Evan Ezra matters. So he has a Shaila that he asked the Aruch HaShulchan about a case that happened in 1907 where they had written a get for a woman, and they wrote the woman was Bas Leibush, and then after the get was written, I think the get must have been delivered in New York, I think it was written in Europe, and after the get was delivered, they discovered that Leibush was an adoptive father, but the natural born father's name was Shmuel Leib. So what is the status of a get written where you include the adoptive father's name instead of the natural born father's name? So is there more room to be makel there than the standard case of shinui b'shem ha? So the Aruch HaShulchan there suggests a number of snifim lahakel. The number one, b'makom igun, you can rely on the following combination of factors. Number one, he says, you do have the opinion of the Bala Itzer, even though it's a minority opinion, we've shown him that a tos b'shem ha'av doesn't pass. Number two, you have Rishonim who hold that even if it does passel, it only passels midarabanan, not midaraisa. Number three, in this situation, everyone identified this. No one knew that she was adopted, or people didn't really consider that. So everyone knew this woman to be the daughter of the adoptive father. So if we're concerned about properly identifying the individual, so she's properly identified as the daughter of the adoptive father, because everyone knew her to be the daughter of the adoptive father. Number four, Sarach Bas Asher. Right, Targum Yonas, Targum Unklus translates in Parshas Pinchas, Sarach Bas Asher, Shum Birsa de Eshes Asher Sarach. Sarach was the daughter of Asher's wife, not the daughter of Asher. So Asher was a stepfather of Sarach, and yet the Torah identifies Sarach as Sarach Bas Asher. So you see precedent for identifying a stepfather as a father. And then finally, in this particular case, the real name was Shmuel Leib of the natural-born father, and the adoptive father is Leibish. Leibish Leib is kind of the same name. So you can throw that into the mix anyway. Maybe she didn't really know her father's name anyway, because when is a woman ever in shul, and how would she know how he got Elias? Isha Bazar Minayin. So that whole combination of factors led the Aruch HaShulchan to be makel in this particular situation. This Tshuvas Aruch HaShulchan is reprinted. A number of years ago, someone came up with printed a collection of Tshuvas of the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan never printed Tshuvas in his lifetime, but he wrote various Tshuvas that were printed in different journals, like this one. So someone collected all these Tshuvas, and this Tshuva appears in that collection. The Tzitz Eliezer, Chelek Dalet Siman Kaf Beis, quotes this Tshuva of the Aruch HaShulchan, who saw it in the original source, and he quotes it approvingly as well. He points out there's the Tshuvas Chasson Sofer in a related issue. Chasson Sofer is an Eben Ezer Siman Ayin Vav, where the Chasson Sofer writes, there was a situation in town where there was an adoptive son who was signing shtaros in the name of his adoptive father, and people were upset about that, and the Chasson Sofer didn't think it was such a big deal.
What would we do Lemaisa for that?
Lemaisa, you should write the name of your natural born father. You're thinking of Getz? So we'll get to that in a minute. Good. Okay, so we'll get to it now. So what do you do, l'chachila? What's the l'chachila way of writing a adoptive child's name in a get? So l'chachila, the practice of Batei Din is that if we know the name of the natural-born child, father, then we write the name of the natural-born father.
Here, the father of the non-Jew.
No, the father of the non-Jew, then we write the mother's name.
We're talking about Wendell.
Right, we know the natural-born father is Jewish, and we know his identity, we know his name. So then we would write the name of the natural-born father. So says Tshuvas Minchas Yitzchak, for example, Chelek Hei Semen Mem Dalid. Minchas Yitzchak is talking about the context of a Ksuba, but the same would be true for a get.
That's called identifying?
So Yer Mechavein to what the get Mesudr quotes in the Ole Shei. So this is a slight kasha that I don't have a full resolution to, but the get Mesudr quotes in the Ole Shei, and the following get Mesudr is one of the authoritative Sarim on Shemus Gittin. Written by between the wars by someone in Hungary, so it's a sefer that we often use for Shemus Begitin. So the Gemara Suda raises the following issue, quoting from the Yalei Shem, that your precise point that if everyone identifies this person as the son or daughter of the adoptive father, and no one knows who the natural born father is, so then isn't that a problem, because that's not how people identify the person? So that's a hara. The practice of Batei Din still is that if we know the identity of the father, at least the person himself knows who it is. So if the person himself knows who he is, and this is his or her father, so we write on that basis, but that is a hara. What happens if we don't know the name of the natural-born father? So Gedalia Felder in his Nachlas Tzvi thinks in that situation it could be you can write the name of the adoptive father l'chachila, because people identify themselves, or the person identifies himself or herself as the child of this natural of this adoptive father. Another option, the Tshuvas Emek She'ela, written by the son-in-law of the Divrei Chaim of Tzanz, has the following suggestion, then maybe you should write, in his case, Chaim, the Miskri Chaim ben Avner. So his adoptive father's name is Avner. So you write Chaim called Chaim ben Avner. So he's not Chaim ben Avner, but he's called Chaim ben Avner. So you write Chaim called Chaim ben Avner. And the Minchas Yitzchak writes something similar, Chelek Vav Simen Kufnan Aleph. He's talking about a ksuba, where if you would have written the name of the adoptive father, there would have been a chashash sakana. What's the chashash sakana? The chashash sakana is that the kala doesn't know that she's adopted. So, you know, under the chuppah, you're reading the ksuba, and you're reading a different name than the person she believes to be your father. She could faint. There could be serious health issues. So he writes, "V'makam chashash sakana," so you can follow this this suggestion of the Emek She'ela, and write Ploni, then Ploni Dimitri, Ploni Ben Ploni. Although for a woman, so Rabbi Mendelssohn Ravik from Milwaukee has a nice collection of tshuvas called Aser B'samim. So he writes that works for the Chaim Dimitri Chaim Ben Avner for a male who gets aliyah. So sometimes he's called Chaim Ben Avner when you call him to the Torah. But you never, most of our circles, we don't call women to the Torah. So if you're going to say Plonis, the Miskaria Plonis Bas Ploni, when do you ever call her Plonis Bas Ploni? So that's his R, and maybe that doesn't work so well. Right, so it could be, right, if you're in a place to make Mishaber, so maybe that's enough to call it, to use that Eitza. Right. Our Abbezim, Gedaliah Schwartz, pointed out that the previous Abbezim, the brother of Rav Steinberg, had the practice, even L'Chachila, of writing for an adoptive child, Ploni, Demiskri, Ben Ploni Hamagadlo. And Moshe has something similar. That Ploni called the son of Ploni who raised him. So that's something, we don't generally do that. We had one situation a number of years ago where we had a husband who absolutely refused to be identified by the name of his natural born father, and he said if we write the name of the natural born father in the get, he's going to leave and he won't give the get. So in that situation, without a brera, we followed this Esau, the brother of, and he wrote Ploni Demiskri Ben Ploni Hamagadlo, which is all a true statement regardless. So any of these Eitzahs would work, that as long as we properly identify the person and understand the context, the various ways of doing this, but even in a B'dieva situation, if you wrote the name of the adoptive father, so based on Sarach HaShulchan, there's what to rely on to be Machshir B'dieva.